This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Many times that the Anita Hill hearing was a disaster, but they did have an FBI investigation. They did have other witnesses. There were other ways to judge this. The Senate Republicans have predetermined the outcome of that this will be a he says, she says by taking that away.
All right, that was Senator Patty Murray talking about the Kavanaugh situation. Now, there is going to be a hearing that happens on Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern. As the Supreme Court nomination turns. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. I like to say we're at the crossroads of it all, and this is what people are wrestling with, the accusations against Kavanaugh and what they mean. Bottom line is, listen, they've got to go through this. In Washington, Republicans and Democrats are definitely divided over the dispute between Ford and Kavanaugh as to when they were 15 and 17. Thursday's Senate hearing is going to be big. It's going to be big across the country. And in talking to all kinds of people, conservatives and others, about this, what are the motives, some are saying, and others are saying they're willing to forgive Kavanaugh, or they're not willing to forgive him, or they're angry about it, or they're not talking about it. So it's been interesting to see. A Fox News poll that was released on Sunday found that 38% of female voters believe Ford. 28% sided with Kavanaugh. Men were split. The biggest difference is, of course, by party. 59% of Democrats believe Ford. 60% of Republicans believe Kavanaugh. Nothing new when it comes to the splitting of the way we think in this country. I mean, really, that's what it is. So there are people that are coming to the aid of both of them and criticizing the other. And here's the deal. We're going to find out what this hearing yields. And I think that's such a smart play anyway, because that's what you want, right? So don't leave any stone unturned. Have the conversation. Where does it lead us? Does it lead us to the confirmation of Brett Kavanaugh? Does it lead us in a different direction? Now there's another woman that's come forward. I don't know if they're going to investigate that or not. And when I talk about investigating, I mean, really, we're talking about the hearing at this point. Will they try another part of this and wait a couple of days, or no? Is it credible, or do they feel it's credible, or, you know, the timing is what's being questioned. The timing of how come a Senator Feinstein didn't release the letter sooner when she had the letter. And there's, there, of course, it's worth asking that question. Yes, it was, you know, I want to remain anonymous, but still, when the stakes are this high and Feinstein is just kind of, she's there for the taking, I think, is what's happening pretty much. Besides Kavanaugh and this high-stakes deal and what's going to happen, the accuser's letter to Congress, Senator Graham saying, I won't ruin Judge Kavanaugh's life, what was really, really very, very big news over the weekend, and the fact that this has now been nailed down, and the fact that there's this New Yorker report with a woman saying that Kavanaugh sexually assaulted her when they were freshmen at Yale University. Her name is Deborah Ramirez. Where does that go? In the meantime, what else happened over the weekend? The president threatened Friday, heading into the weekend, to get rid of his Department of Justice of the stench hours after a report that a top official in the department had discussed invoking the 25th Amendment to remove him from office. So Deputy Attorney Rod Rosenstein denied a report in the New York Times on Friday that he had spoken with senior officials in Trump's administration about that 25th Amendment. And Trump told a group, a rally in Missouri, that we have great people in the Department of Justice, but there's still this lingering stench, and we're going to get rid of that too, right? If you fly, this might not seem like a big thing in light of what I just was talking about, but Congress is considering ordering minimum airline seat sizes. That's huge. As well as new standards for allowing service animals to fly with their human owners. The proposals are in a Federal Aviation Administration funding plan that was released over the weekend. They've got a September 30th deadline to keep FAA programs running. The Senate either has to take up the bill this week or both chambers will need to pass a short-term extension. Democratic Senator Bill Nelson of Florida said the lawmakers agree that it's time to take action on ever-shrinking seats. Everybody must be on a diet. You must weigh 90 pounds. I don't know. All planes are different since I've flown a lot. Some of the seats are ridiculous. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You'd have to be a size, you know, 3. So good for them for doing that. But does that raise the ticket prices? You know, who knows? There's another story that's been interesting that's been surfacing, saying that denying green cards to immigrants using welfare and food stamps could happen. There's these strict new rules that are coming out to deny green cards to millions of potential immigrants if they're deemed likely to use food stamps, welfare, housing vouchers, Medicaid, that kind of stuff. So Department of Homeland Security officials announced a proposal on Saturday over the weekend too, saying it would save federal taxpayers $2.7 billion by deterring immigrants from applying for benefits they would otherwise be qualified for and would affect about 380,000 people annually. You know, there's this big argument about why are we admitting people who can't support themselves? Immigrants, the advocates for immigrants call it a cruel attack on some of the most vulnerable people in the world who are seeking a chance at a better life in the United States. Let me know what you think. I'm going to do a little mini poll on this. Send it to me by going to katedelaneyradio.com. KateDelaneyRadio.com, click on contact, and bada bing. Hey, coming up this hour, at the tail end of the hour, my young friend Donovan Cashin is back to talk about cars, where he's gone to two really cool places, including in Monterey, and this time he talks about going to the Geneva Car Show. Can you imagine going to the Geneva Car Show? What kind of cars are you going to see? Cars you can't get in the United States, right? And speaking of cars, if you were cruising down some of the roads in North Carolina, I'll tell you what you would see. You would smell the stench of fish. And firefighters from the town of Penderley, which is in the southeastern part of the state of North Carolina, they've been hosing off fish carcasses from Interstate 40 and onto the side of the road because cars are skidding while running over them. That massive storm surge and the river flooding from Hurricane Florence brought a crazy amount of fish out of their natural habitat.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
When you use public Wi-Fi, hackers and identity thieves can see anything you do online. Embarrassing photos, your web history, even your passwords. That's why I use private internet access to encrypt my internet connection for less than 10 cents a day. Sign up now at privateinternetaccess.com, and in just a few minutes, you'll be browsing anonymously and only sharing what you want to share. privateinternetaccess.com. It's time to protect your online privacy.
How well and how fast does Heart and Body Extract work to improve blood circulation? Listen.
My name is Ellis, and I am 66 years old, and I live in Jacksonville, Florida. 2 years ago, I was diagnosed as having clogged arteries. I had 70% blockage in one artery leading to my heart. They wanted me to go on Plavix, but I refused, knowing the negative side effects.
Heart and Body Extract is a unique balance, synergy, and proportion of herbs reaching from head to toe at maximum absorption around 95% at the cellular level.
Within the first month, I felt a dramatic difference. The heaviness in my legs was reduced, and within 2 months, I felt completely normal.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract. Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract. Call 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
Really excited to welcome to the show Sally Parker Gazelle. She's got a book out called The Amazing Adventures of the Kettle Pans and Their Animal Friends, Mystery with Humor. I love that. So it caught my eye right away before I even read the book, knew anything about the book. The title is just absolutely brilliant, I have to say. Sally, what drove you to write this book?
My granddaughter used to talk about animals that talk, flew. They were just regular, ordinary people. So I just took some of an older couple I know who lived on a rundown farm, and I just kind of put the animals in it and made them come back as kind of, I can't tell you what they come back as because it's spoil the story, but and the carpenter's pulling the walls apart. It's a rundown old house. The carpenter's pulling the walls apart. And they find, they discover secrets that leads everybody on a treasure hunt.
Wow. And we do know, I guess we can tell people this, right? The animals can drive and they can talk and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, and they sing and they drive the kettle pans crazy.
Did you in a way draw from your own life? Because a lot of times, no matter if it's a children's story, if it's for older people, and I think your book, frankly, could be for anybody. Did you draw from things in your imagination and from real life? How did you do that?
Yeah, the characters are kind of real, like the barber. I know the barber in town. I put his name in, kind of changed his shop. The oil company, I changed the shop name. And then I like animals, so we kind of put some animals there, and I just used my imagination. Try to think as a child would be if they saw these animals, how would you react? Or the city people who never saw animals drive or play an instrument or they never met a skunk or a raccoon, how would you react?
Yeah, I love that. So I want to tell everyone again, we are talking about the book, The Amazing Adventures of the Kettle Pans and Their Animal Friends. As I said at the top, think mystery with humor. And I like that, mystery with humor. So you have some, and obviously we talk about the animals right here. I asked you if they talk, and you talk about them being very, like, real life. And that right there is kind of a funny thing because we all remember Dr. Doolittle. You remember Dr. Doolittle, right, Sal?
Oh, yeah, I love Dr. Doolittle. Fantastic.
Yeah, and that immediately, your book made me think of that, and I thought, you know, we haven't heard much about animals and talking. I mean, I guess we have seen that in animation, but what a cool idea, and then to marry it to the story of this New York couple that where they're tired of being in the city and that they buy this rundown farmhouse and it's a fixer-up project. Is there problems with the couple and trying to fix up the farmhouse? Could I would imagine all of us thinking about that, it would be difficult, right?
It is. And then when the electrician comes in, they give the electrician a hard time. They give the roofers a hard time. And they jump off the roof. The animals jump off the roof into a dumpster, make a swimming pool out of it. They're always in the way of the people working on the house, giving them some trouble.
I think a lot of us can relate to what that's like. When you started to pull the story together, did you feel like you kind of had a flow? Did you have a system for a way to pull it together, the characters and how you wrote?
No, I just start with it and just run with it. I don't have any board. You put up, you know, characters on nothing. I just go with it. Sometimes I ask my husband for an animal name or my granddaughter for an animal name, but I just ran with it. And for the characters, I figured I'd take some of the people in our small town. We only have 2,000 people. I'd take them, put them in the story.
So what's been the reaction to the people in the small town where you live to your book?
I don't think a lot of them recognize who they are in the book. It just, like my husband used to work for the oil company, so instead of the guy that ran it, I just put his name as the boss, and the man works for my husband. So I just kind of filled in the names and ran with that. And they do meet a fairy along the way that kind of talks to the kettle pans and a frog. But it's kind of eye-opening. Just use your imagination. Don't think of it as, well, it can't be real. Just think as a kid. If you were reading a book, and almost visualize all these. You come home and there's a bunch of animals in your tub. What are you going to do? You know, or you see somebody sitting on the couch crocheting, but nobody's there or knitting.
Wow.
Something's wrong.
Something is definitely wrong, Sally, if that happens. I love it. As you said, what she's saying for everybody listening is stretch your imagination, definitely. And I love the name, the kettle pans. How'd you come up with that name?
Well, I thought of the kettle, but that doesn't really sound right, so I just put pans on the end. I thought, well, pots and pans and kettle. Nobody would think of kettle pans, so I didn't know where else to go, so that's where my husband and I came up with kettle pans.
Yeah, very clever. So your husband was like your sounding board. When he saw it all come together and then you see the finished product, what was it like for him to see that?
Oh, he would read it, and he would be amazed. Of course, he tried to help me with the grammar and that, and he would read it, and he says, amazing. He just kept reading and reading and reading until he got to the end, and he never knew really what the end was going to be until he read it. That's how much he loved it.
Yeah.
He kind of pushes me to write.
I love that. And so when you do a story like this, you know that it's so interesting, and people are going to be, I think, really pulled into the amazing adventures of the kettle pans and their animal friends. Is there the desire to, geez, I think I got to write another one?
I've already got three sitting on the shelf waiting to publish eventually. When I, you know, get a little money, I will. And I've published two before this, The Secrets of the Hidden Valley, that takes place in Stark. And they move up. A couple adopts a bunch of kids. They move them to a hidden valley, and they live there, and they had mysteries there with a wizard. And it was the first book. The characters are my grandchildren. Then I went on to this one, and then I've got three more.
Wow. So you definitely have the gift. You definitely like to tell stories. When you were a kid, did you like stories, and were you a big storyteller?
No, I wasn't a storyteller, but I like comic books.
You like comic books as a kid. Do you remember the favorite character? Do you have a favorite character that you liked?
Oh, there was Archie, and then there was Bugs Bunny or some of them, yeah.
Wow.
I was a big comic book collector.
Yeah, and see, look, I bet that influenced you. And, And again, we're speaking with Sally Parker Fazell. We're talking about the book, The Amazing Adventures of the Kettle Pans and Their Animal Friends. And we say mystery with humor. So you and I have talked off the air, and you are a very pleasant, funny person. So humor, I think, unites people. And I think it's great when you can use it in a story. And did you find that that made your story move along?
Oh, yeah, it made it move along. When I started putting animals in, I said, I got to put animals in, but why do you want normal animals on a farm? I mean, they've been in this house for years, and nobody's paid attention to them, so they just went along about their business with tractors and cars, and they just more or less lived by themselves until these people bought the land, and then they had a little trouble with the land, so these people end up living in a trailer next to the house while they're working on it.
Yeah, oh, wow. And just even that imagery that pops up when I think about that. And this is a book, really, that anybody can read, correct?
Right. All my books, there's no blood, there's no nothing, no swearing. It's mostly from kids from young to 100 if they want to read it.
Wow. And right now you can get the book, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever, you know, books are sold, certainly you can pick up the book. And we're talking about the Kettle Pans and their animal friends. And the name of the book, again, is The Amazing Adventures of the Kettle Pans and Their Animal Friends. Did you have a favorite animal character when it's all said and done?
Well, I don't know. I really couldn't put my finger on which character I liked the best because they're all funny. It just, I don't know if I like the bear or if I like the cows, or there's a couple cats in there I kind of fell in love with. They're these people that owned the farm before, they had two cats named the same thing, so I tried to put them in, and they kind of get in a little trouble too.
So there might be some ghost action in this, huh?
Yeah, it might pop up and you never know where or if they come to life or nothing. You're going to have to read to find out.
I love that.
They've been living, where did they live when somebody's around? Did they have a hiding place, you know?
That's called a teaser. That's perfect. Sally, we wish you the best with the book. You're a pro at this. And I love the title. I'll say it again. And it's so great that you combined humor and took a real-life situation and what that was like. And it's called The Amazing Adventures of the Kettle Pans and Their Animal Friends. Pick it up. Sally, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Kate.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
If you're young and healthy, you don't need life insurance, right? Yeah, that's what I used to think, too, until my brother died at 38. Joe left his wife with two kids, a mortgage, and a stack of bills she couldn't pay. Mary had to sell the house and move everybody into this tiny two-bedroom apartment just to make ends meet. I never want to do that to my wife, so I got life insurance. I called AIG Direct and was really surprised how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. Listen, if you have a family, you should seriously think about getting life insurance. You'll feel a lot better having it. Trust me.
Call AIG Direct for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you could save up to 70%. Call now. 1-800-910-7981. That's 1-800-910-7981. 1-800-910-7981.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
For accusers of Bill Cosby, a long journey to justice has finally ended. He was sentenced to prison for the 2004 sexual assault of Andrea Constand. The sentence was handed down by Judge Stephen O'Neill, who presided over both the two trials that Cosby faced. He gave 81-year-old Cosby 3 to 10 years. In his reading of the sentence, O'Neill told Cosby that no one is above the law.
He used his acting skills and had an endearing TV personality to win over his victims and then keep them silent about what he did to them.
District Attorney Kevin Steele.
Finally, Bill Cosby has been unmasked, and we have seen the real man as he is headed off to prison.
Accusers in the courtroom were hugging and sobbing when the prison term was finally read aloud. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Money! 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 Money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. 800-634-1315. That's 800-634-1315. NMLS number 1136.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
What a pleasure to be joined by the Reverend Patrick McAndrew, who's written a book called The Miracle Before Your Eyes. It's funny, it's something that I've talked to my friends a lot about lately, and there's starting to be more conversations, I think, about miracles, things we can't explain, etc. And I'm going to let Patrick delve more into that, but I love the idea of what he's fleshed out here, that's for sure. So, Patrick, I guess the first question is, what led you to write the book?
Well, there were two different things that led me to write the book. One was I'm a minister, and I was at a minister's conference, and I was telling some of my stories, and one of the other ministers says you should write a book, and I said, but I can't, because I've had my whole life, my body has had dyslexia, and so I stopped doing things because of dyslexia, and so that's what I told him, and he looked at me and says, stop your butts. Get down and do it. But originally, you know, what caused me to write the book is because I have these personal stories in my life that as I would teach them in the different classes that I would have, I could see in people's eyes in their conversations that the stories were life transforming as they heard them, because they could relate to their own experiences in their life and use it as a beginning point. Many years ago, I was working in a 5-star restaurant and it was crazy. It was madness. It was very much like the TV show Hell's Kitchen with Chef Ramsay, and I was Chef Ramsay, and I didn't know it, and I didn't understand why all the people around me were angry, although it was a great job and I was working from one of my natural gifts, which is cooking, I wasn't happy. Life was crazy. And I ended up serving a drink to somebody who ended up being in an accident that killed himself. And it just put me into a very, 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 very dark place. And as I ended up quitting my job, quitting the restaurant industry, quit drinking. And I was sitting out by a lake, and this really strange occurrence occurred, and I felt spirit's presence all around me, saw spirit's presence all around me, and when it was done, I didn't know how to explain it, didn't know what it was, but it was the only place I wanted to live. And from that moment on, that's been my pursuit, is to live from that awareness.
Wow. Wow. So take us back to the lake for a second and the strange occurrence. And you said it's hard to explain, but what was it? I mean, just something happened that, and you said you could see spirits. What was it that jolted you?
Well, I went out and I sat by this, you know, I was living in Chicago and they have many little lakes, that run along the Plains River. And I went out and sat down by the lake, and I just took in a deep breath, and I let it out. And I asked God, what am I going to do? You know, and at that point, I didn't go to church. So it was a very strange. I hadn't been to church for 15, 16 years. So it was one of those times. It was just, what am I doing? And I sat there, and I said, God, help me. Why is life so horrible? Why is this going on in my life? And I just took a deep breath in and I let it out. And I sat there for a couple minutes just breathing, and all of a sudden I saw this flicker of light in the glass. I saw this flicker of light in the geese, the northern geese that were swimming on the lake. I saw this light energy flowing in everything. And as I breathed it in, you know, it was a changing moment. And I just felt this inner prompting that said, just do what I want you to do. You know, live from that awareness, and you can be here.
And once that happened to you, you knew, okay, wow, I get it. I'm going to do something different, and you started to change your life?
Not exactly. Because I didn't really even believe it. I didn't even believe it myself. And so as I began to process it, I began to bounce things off my wife, who was going through one of her deepest, darkest moments of time. And she had started going to church, and something that we never talked about, because she was raised without church, and I was raised in a church that my soul didn't agree with. And we began talking, and one day I went to church with her. And she was really shocked. And the church that I went to resonated with my soul. And it was little bit by little bit. And as I went in, and I would put myself in different positions, I would listen to this inner prompting that would guide me. You know, and as I listened to the inner prompting, I would also have this other voice that we call our ego, that would argue with it, and I would have to work through the debate between the two and follow the softer, quieter voice, and that's what led me to each one of the events, the occurrences that I talk about in my life, and in one step by step. And learning spiritual principle along with that, it guided me to a place where I live most of the time in awareness of that presence, you know, spirit's presence.
How do you, in the book, The Miracle Before Your Eyes, and we're speaking with Reverend Patrick McAndrew, what do you tell people about trying to open up their hearts and their soul and understand that awareness. Because as you said, most of the time you live in that world, and it is something that you have to practice and really be open to. What do you tell people to do?
The first thing is that we have to understand is the presence is there all the time. The miracle before our eyes is there all the time. And what we have to do to change the way that we see the world, change the way that we see the way that often we've been taught to think through our many experiences and to see that presence. You know, the word heaven, translated from Greek, Aramaic, and Latin directly into English, doesn't refer to an afterlife, but actually means infinite possibilities, ever expanding potential. And so as Jesus taught about the kingdom of heaven, he said that it was right here in Luke 17:20, said that it was right here within our heart. And what we had to do is to seek its presence, you know, to look out and begin to open our eyes to this experience. You know, and at this same time, as we're seeking this presence is here, our worldly experiences, the news media and different things, many different things, cause us to look at the hardship as opposed to the miracle, this field of infinite possibilities that we get to pick and choose between. And so that's as I point out in conversations, as I point that out, is that they have to make the choice, but they have to be aware of what's there, and it's raising our awareness up to that presence, like the prodigal son story. He had to rise up from eating the pods that he was feeding the pigs, and rising up into awareness, going home to his father's kingdom. That's what we have to do, is in those moments of darkness, in those moments of challenges, understand two things. We have to rise up, and then it's also a learning experience. So I can look back at many of the learning experiences, many of the experiences that I have, and I can see the learning. I can see Spirit's presence in that moment prompt me, or I can see the other. But as a result of all these different experiences, I've learned to look for the learning, for this way of learning that opens me up to a deeper and deeper awareness of the One Presence.
Wow, and you would tell people that for people who love reading personal stories about life events and they're searching for something they can't quite explain, we only have a minute left, this book is definitely for them, because they'll understand more as you explain it, right?
Yeah, that's why I wrote it. This is so people could look at these stories and relate to them and open up to this greater possibility within their life. And so many of the people who read my book have actually come back to my bookstore and bought more and given them to their friends.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. There's the true testament. By the way, The Miracle Before Your Eyes, you can pick it up Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. You can go to Litfire as well. Patrick McAndrew, The Miracle Before Your Eyes, thank you so much for joining us on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only 2 documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Again, finally, he's so hard to pin down. I mean, it's like he's a 25-year-old guy. He's 14 years old, which is so hard to believe in my mind. But he's got a business called Cash and Cars. Donovan Cashin is back with us to talk about all the crazy places he's been and all the amazing cars that I want to get that I know nothing about that he has seen. Every time I was just in California, and every time I see a Maserati or a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, I think of Donovan. And all of you know who listen to America Tonight, I often give him a big shout out. And you sent me so many emails, including Izzy in Missouri and Jake in Austin, that you wanted Donovan to come back on. So finally, I have pinned him down. Hello, Donovan Cashin. How are you? Good?
Great. Pleasure to be here.
So yes, you... Ma'am. You've been a couple of different places. One, the last time when we were talking, you were going overseas to an amazing car show. Tell us about that.
Sure. So I was able to go overseas and see the Geneva Motor Show, which is the largest in Europe and quite possibly the world's for unveiling the latest and greatest cars by your favorite day's manufacturers. So I was able to see the latest McLarens, the latest Ferraris, and some brands that you don't have in the U.S., like Skoda and others that are not legal for importation here. So it definitely is a lot different of the amount of cars you see because, of course, you can't import them all, but they all show off their latest and greatest vehicles, which is really cool to see.
Well, I'd imagine you just really piqued my interest when you said there's cars that are illegal in the United States. And is that because of emissions, how fast they can go up to? Is it a whole bunch of other things, the parts, what is it that they're deemed illegal in the United States?
It's a mix of many things, really. It can be from crash safety to the emissions, and it could be that the manufacturer just doesn't think the car will sell in the United States, so they won't bother bringing it over.
Wow, that's good, because you're right. You know, when you think about that, I thought of emissions right away, but the crash standards would also be something that would be of concern. And, of course, the speeds, because of our highways, et cetera. I mean, I think of, like, Germany, and they have the Autobahn, or there's other areas where they have what I'll call unlimited speed limits. And I think that makes a big difference, because then somebody can get that car and they can open it up. So you're right. Why would the manufacturer try to sell it in the United States if they know they have absolutely no uptake for it, because people won't be able to do anything other than really drive like a grandma in it or show it off, so it won't matter. The other thing is, you know, you talk about the Geneva Car Show, and I think, like many car shows, and there's so many in the United States, and you know this, Donovan, cars have always been fascinating to a lot of people, but I think it's exploded even more. And I saw that when I was at the SEMA garage in Los Angeles, how big it is for what I call motorheads, gearheads, and there was all different levels of that. But what did you see at the Geneva show that was so surprising maybe to you that you hadn't seen before? Because that's great that you had a chance to go there. There's a lot of people that have that on their bucket list. What was it that you saw that was so amazing?
Well, there's, of course, the latest cars that can't be imported, and there's a lot of car modifiers that come out as well from all over Europe. So it's interesting to see what their takes on different vehicles that aren't even legal in the United States. For instance, a special edition Bugatti that has a completely new body on top of it. So things like that is very weird and interesting to see, because you don't see a lot of them in the United States, but to see one with diamonds encrusted into the logo is definitely a little interesting.
A diamond encrusted Bugatti? Oh, my speaking career has to take off. That's exactly the car I want. I just wrote it down in big, big letters. I want the diamond encrusted Bugatti. That's pretty crazy. So when you're in Geneva and you're walking around, obviously there's people from all over the world, right? And you bumped into people, I'm sure, that were French, that were maybe Spanish, that were from Geneva, Swiss, et cetera. All kinds of people, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So, was that interesting to see that from your perspective, to see all the different types of people that were hovering around these cars?
Yes, it definitely does show that the passion for automobiles is much larger than just here in the United States. It shows that almost from every country there is at least one person that loves automobiles enough to go to the Geneva Motor Show. So,
wow.
It was definitely interesting to see.
So, for you, and I said it in the beginning, you have a business called Cash and Cars, and I mentioned your age, and some people may be hearing that for the first time might be really surprised by that. Explain what you do with Cash and Cars.
Sure. So I help connect buyers and sellers together. So a lot of times searching for a new car is extremely hard and just a time, very time consumptive. Mm-hmm. So it takes a good amount of time to find the car you want and exactly what you want from different dealer for the right price. So I will go ahead and search for that through my network of dealers and around the country. So.
And how long did it take you to build that list? I bet for years, right? You've been working with different people, so you have this list that you can go down and make those calls that like somebody like I couldn't do, because it would take me forever to find them.
Correct, yeah. I've been in the business for a few years, and through that I've been able to meet many people in the industry by going to shows such as Monterey and Geneva, and from going to events here in Dallas, for instance, like Cars and Coffee. I mean, that's actually a national event, so even if you lived in California, you could always go to an event like that and meet people in the industry. So I find that as my best way to meet new clients.
Nice. Is there one particular broker, or is there somebody that you seem to work with a lot because they just have the cars that somebody wants and you're shopping around for them?
There are many large automotive dealership groups. I know in the north it's like Herb Chambers, or down here in the south it's Park Place. So there are many large dealership groups like that, but not really an individual, since I work with many different people from many different income levels. So necessarily I'm not going to offer a Ferrari to a person that makes $30,000 a year, for instance. And that's what some people specialize in.
Are you kidding? So you mean if I make $30,000 a year, I can't get that car? Oh, you dream smasher, you. You're a realist. I love it. And you know that that's what it is. People fantasize always about the kind of car that they want, no matter what their income level is. But I'm a believer in if you really want it badly enough, and you can manifest it if you keep, you know, pursuing what it is you're pursuing. So it would be a good time to mention to people listening, and certainly those, I've been doing this show now, we're celebrating 10 years, that I believe in, you know, putting up a sort of like a vision board of what you would want. So if you had a vision board, Donovan, of cars, and there was one you wanted, and I know you have access to some really cool cars, including your family has a Tesla, and you just got a Porsche, and I know that the rest of your family is intrigued and interested in this too. But if you had a board for, you know, let's say you're in your 20s or however old you are, what would be your fantasy car right now that you think of that you would want?
I personally, even though my family was lucky enough to be able to purchase a Porsche, I would love a Porsche of my own. So that's always been a dream of mine. The first exotic car I was able to be able to ride in was when I was 5. My neighbor had a Porsche 911, so he was able to, on my birthday, pick me up from school in it. So from there, I've always been fascinated by Porsches.
Porsches. You and I have the same car. I like the 911s too. When I was 16, there was a guy that I played tennis with, and my mom checked him out, and we would go and hit balls, and he would pick me up. Jake, his name was, and he would pick me up in his car, and it was silver. I like that silver 911. Remember those?
I do. Yeah, beautiful cars.
Yeah, and there was something about. There was something about the body of it, I guess, and also the low to the ground, the way it runs, when you could kind of open it up a little bit. It was pretty neat. So we actually share the same car. Now, to get a Porsche, a vintage Porsche 911, that would cost a little bit. What approximately would they run, do you think?
A vintage one, it depends, because the markets for classic exotic cars have been very volatile recently. For instance, if you were to buy a classic Ferrari in 2008, you would have made more money owning that than investing in the stock market, which is something I learned recently. So it all depends on exactly what year car you buy, but they're usually in the $30,000 to $50,000 range if you buy a more normal one, which... Of course, you could always go for the special edition car that's going to cost you $500,000.
$500,000. I think my husband's going to have to get a big job for that $500,000. I love it. Yeah. All right, Donovan, we want you to come back again. Can you come back for part two of Cash and Cars with us?
We would love to. I'd love to.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.